All right, good morning and welcome back here on the Mighty 690. Hope you are having a wonderful morning. We're here with the Coffeyville Amateur Radio Club. We have President John Vest in the room. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Hey, doing well. It is nice to start the new year with ham radio, in my opinion. I finished the new year listening to some of the, they call it straight key night, the actual Morse code stuff and everything. So that was fun. And so now we're ringing in the new year with ham radio, with our update with the Coffeyville Club. So we had our meeting last month and decided that we want to go ahead and put on a, kind of a class, right?
Yes.
So an actual class where people can participate and, you know, get their ham radio license. Because, John, if you want to maybe go into a little detail for folks here, first of all, because amateur radio is a licensed hobby, right?
Yes, it's a licensed hobby, and there are three different licenses. You have technician, you have general, and you have extra class.
Yep.
And technician is the beginning one to go into, and it's not that hard to get your license. It's actually pretty easy anymore.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to help people out. So basically how this is going to work, see, we're going to have a testing session and a class this month, but it's a little soon just to try to promote it and everything. So the plan is, and we're going to nail down all these details, is we're going to have, looking at in February, and hopefully, Jacob, if you're listening, you're good with that too. You know, we fly by the seat of our pants sometimes. But hey, we have our next, before we get into that, we do have a meeting coming up next week, right?
Yes, on the 10th.
Yep, so that'll be Tuesday. That'll be the 10th. And so if you're interested, you can stop by and learn about kind of our upcoming testing session we're going to have in our upcoming class. So that's going to be at the Coffeyville Reawakening Building right here in town. It's on 9th Street, right by the new ice cream place. So you can do two for one, you know, get some ham radio, get some ice cream, get everything you need there. So, you know, and those are, of course, welcome to anyone who wants to stop by, right?
Right. Anybody that is interested in it, wants to come see what it's about, they can come. And that's at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are looking kind of at the second week of February. I know we have Valentine's Day in there, so we don't want to, you know, mess up anything with that. So we are looking at kind of having three different nights of instruction there and then an actual testing session. So we'll kind of hammer out all the details, and then I'll announce it here on the radio. We're going to have John, of course, in next month before we get into this. So we just want to let everyone know, kind of save the date. And the other thing is, we have study material available, which is kind of the cool thing. Not very many clubs, you know, necessarily do this, so this is a neat opportunity. So we have a book that people can purchase. They're pretty inexpensive, and then you can start studying. And so, John, if people are interested in maybe getting that book, how can we get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at 620-515-0097, and you can text me or call me anytime, day or night.
That's great. And we will have a Facebook page up here. We are working on building that. The club did have a website, but it's not up right now. We're working on that too. It's just, you know, kind of baby steps sort of thing. So we will have a Facebook page. We'll post some information. So look forward to that. So we're working on all sorts of stuff. But hey, John, have you just basically give people a taste? You know, they're saying like, okay, well, what is amateur radio? I'm not familiar like with this whole concept. You know, just in a nutshell, explain it a little bit to people who are new to the idea.
Ham radio is a hobby that spans since the 20s. Even Herbert Hoover, I saw a picture of him with his ham radio when he was like about 12, 14 years old. And the radio was huge, but now they have them where they're real small.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they have them where they're very economical to buy. You can get a radio and get into ham radio as far as the radio for $25, $30 now. And ham radio is a nice little hobby to have. You can talk to people all around the world and not, you know, you're actually talking to them. Not through a computer or not through the internet, but actually through airwaves. And you can, it's used a lot in emergency situations where nowadays where your phone lines are down for your cell phones, when cell tower goes down, you can use ham radio and talk to people and even make phone calls on it, actually. We have repeaters that we can daisy chain together all the way across the United States. It is a hobby that the whole family can enjoy, not just one, but everyone in the family can enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, once you get into it, it's kind of like a bug. It bites you, and you have a lot of fun, and you want more.
And it is truly a worldwide hobby, too. I mean, I think the King of Jordan or whatever, he was a ham yes. before he died. And there's all sorts of, you know, who knows, you could actually talk to royalty on the airwaves. There's a lot of folks out there, you know, around the world who are hams. And it's kind of one of those hobbies that's blossomed during COVID, which is really interesting. Because people had some more time on their hands. They maybe had time to study, get interested in it. And it's one of those things that, you know, you can easily do by yourself and not be in people's way and that sort of thing. So that's another kind of interesting aspect. People thought, oh, well, ham radio is it's dying, that sort of thing. Well, we actually have more licensed amateurs in the U.S. than at any other time in history.
Yes. And it's growing big anymore. It's getting a lot larger worldwide, not just in the United States, but worldwide. People are very interested in being able to talk to people about COVID and all, and they do that on the ham radio now worldwide, not just in the United States.
Sure. And, of course, we've talked on the program before about emergency communication, and every month we have some sort of story about that. In fact, just this past month, I believe there was a hiker, can't remember what, it was one of those western states, was hiking, got lost. He had it was a DMR radio that he had with him, and he was able to reach out to a local repeater. And someone who knew the area was driving home, heard that call, was able to connect him with his wife. So she knew where he was, and then they sent up a team to basically rescue him.
Yes.
And find him. So, you know, there's stories of that honestly every month.
Yes.
The other thing is we've had maritime mobile stations, ships at sea. People think, they kind of don't realize that a ship on the ocean doesn't have very many options for communication. We have satellite phones and everything, but those don't necessarily always work, especially when you're on a rocking boat that's in right. sinking or something.
And that was that's another thing that the Titanic, the distress signal was sent out by SOS through ham radio.
Yep.
And every year they do have over in Branson a weekend where they do nothing but do DX over there for Morse code. And it's the weekend that the Titanic actually went down. That weekend
sure.
they have that.
Wow, that's great. Well, and two, there's a lot of special Christmas programs they do. You know, we just wrapped up. There are a lot of Santa nets on the air where kids could actually talk to Santa. Because that's the other thing is people, you can actually have what's called third-party traffic. So if you are in the room with a licensed amateur, you can actually talk on the radio as long as they have control of the radio. So that's just another little, you know, facet. And back in the day, you probably remember all the days of phone patches.
Yes. We could patch in and call anybody on the phones and patch their phone through to relatives, and you didn't have to pay long distance fees.
Yeah, well, that was a big deal. Well, and two, wasn't it Senator Barry Goldwater back in Arizona? I mean, he had like, I think it was in his home or something, but he had basically set up an entire half of the house was like a professional broadcast setup where he had like guys working around the clock doing phone patches back in the 60s.
Yes, and it was basically for Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Was what that was for the GIs to be able to talk to their home.
That's just wild. Yeah, I mean, they pretty much just ran around the clock, and he had beams pointed to every, you know, corner of the earth, pretty much.
Yep, and, I mean, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of presidents that were ham radio
yeah.
operators
mm-hmm.
also, and there's... It's kind of unreal how many ham radio operators there are in the United States nowadays.
Oh, of course. You know, there's a lot, and it's growing. And the other thing is, a lot of people wanting to get outdoors and that sort of thing, especially on nice days like we had yesterday, you can go outside and do what's called POTA or SOTA, which is Parks on the Air, Summits on the Air. There's also Lighthouses and Islands on the Air. We don't have too many of those around Kansas, but it's where you can actually go out, take your portable radio equipment. You can go on a little hike or whatnot. You can set up an antenna pretty easily, and you can activate a park. And those people who do this are, you'll get what's called a pile up pretty easily, where people are trying to talk to you. And so you'll have a lot of folks wanting to, they chase these parks is basically what they're called. Mm-hmm. So you can combine ham radio with pretty much any hobby that you already are interested in. There's probably a way to do it.
Yes.
So even if you want to like put a tracker on your dog for hunting or something like that, you could do that. You could do, it's called APRS, automatic packet reporting system. So we have all these fun little cool tools that a lot of people aren't aware of, but once you dig into it, it's a hobby that you can find your place in for sure.
Yes, and you can also, they have low frequency beacons.
Oh yeah.
And you can go looking for them and find them by using radio waves.
Yep.
And it's pretty interesting doing that.
Well, and here's the other thing is you probably remember, and people, some of our listeners remember the old school shortwave listening. Well, shortwave didn't go anywhere. Just because maybe you got rid of your shortwave radio, it's still there. So there's a lot of cool stuff you can listen on because ham radio receivers nowadays cover a wide bandwidth. So,
yes.
You know, you can tune in all sorts of other stuff that is pretty wild. Like, well, I remember when I was out in Arizona, I was just scanning the dial. I don't remember, you know, exactly what band I was on, but I came across this whooping noise. It was whoop, 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 and then Morse code. And it would have a Morse code signal. I was like, what the heck? So I just looked up that Morse code call. It was, this is not in the ham bands. What someone was doing, it's an unlicensed, technically illegal, unlicensed beacon.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Desert Whooper. And it's somewhere out in the, there's a Sonoran Desert, I believe. And what it is it's just probably taped to a cactus somewhere. There's a solar panel and a little tiny transmitter putting out like a watt or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, you can actually hear it. It'll send telemetry. It'll send like the temperature. It'll send a few other parameters. And it just goes there and whoops. But just by having a radio that's capable of, and that's, you don't have to be licensed for that.
Right.
But you know, it's a lot more fun to be able to talk.
Yeah.
So, but just know that, you know, once you get into this, you'll discover in a whole another world. I mean, people even tuning stuff in that's going on in Russia right now in Ukraine. We have stories of, you know, operators there in Ukraine who have been basically listening to the Russian communications and telling their neighbors that, oh, there's about to be an air raid, that sort of thing. So the radio is still an absolutely vital and fascinating part of our world today. And it's continuing relevance as we have, you know, some of these crazy world events is really something.
Yes. I mean, and like I said, if your cell phone network goes down, you still have communications to the outside world. You know, and there's always a ham that is always listening to frequencies out there. I mean, it's not like, oh, you can only get a hold of them certain times. They're, hams are on the radio 24 hours a day, seven
yep.
days a week. They enjoy being on the radio.
Well, and that's the other thing, you know, if you're going to be traveling or, let's face it, you go down south, you know, into like parts of Nowata, Craig, Osage County, you're not going to have cell service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, and these some of these places, they're not going to ever have cell service.
Yeah.
Just because there's not enough to, you know, there's not enough reason financially to put towers up in some of these remote areas, especially, heck, you get into the Western United States and people, we get into a sense of security that's, oh, the cell phone network's always going to be there. But there's lots of places that you can very easily get to in Kansas that do not have service.
Yes. And that is something that a lot of people are finding out, that when they're trying to get a hold of people, they can't do it anymore. And because they have actually lost some of the towers. They weren't producing enough revenue for
sure.
them. So they've abandoned some of these towers.
Oh, I know very firsthand in Greenwood County, some places where they used to have cell service and now they don't. Yep. And it's just, you know, the past couple of years, they took a tower down, and there's just no service at a particular ranch that I've gone to. So, yeah, things are not always going, you know, more service. In fact, sometimes things are kind of shrinking. But, hey, John, as it's always fun to just chat and show people kind of a little window into the world of ham radio. But once again, if people are interested, we do have the testing session that will be coming up now in February. Moving it back from January to February is the plan. We will announce those dates as soon as we get everything nailed down. So if people are interested, they can start studying now. And if they want to get that book, is it going to be pretty inexpensive? How can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me anytime, day or night, at 620-515-0097. And I can get them the book. And they can, like I said, text me or call me. It doesn't matter either way. And they're more than welcome to come to our meeting on next Tuesday on the 10th at 7 p.m. downtown here. And then they can see even more about what ham radio is about.
Well, that's excellent. And we'll have that Facebook page up and running so people can head on over there to get all the details. So, yes, again, look forward to next month being able to have that class. And then we'll actually have the testing session. So we will announce all those dates when we get them all nailed down. And it's going to be a good time. You can join the fraternity for ham radio. There's just so many neat options and great things to learn, because it's all about learning and becoming better. And I just got the new 2022 AWRL handbook. Oh yeah, the hundredth mm-hmm. handbook.
Yep.
And that thing is great. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, man, if I could absorb everything in here, I'd be a genius. But I'm only going to get about 1% of it. But that's okay. You know, take like a lifetime to read that thing. But
yes.
John, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on here, and I look forward to our meeting coming up next week on Tuesday, and hope you get some calls.
Okay, I appreciate being on here.
All right.
Good service KVGF's doing on this.
Hey, well, thank you, John. I really appreciate it. And we are coming back with Open Line moments away here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.